first things forward, everybody here, we're not here to celebrate Eid, you know, because there's not a lot of events to celebrate.
Hundreds of Kashmir students, artists and academics are sitting on the ground in a corner of Jantar Mantar, Delhi's own Speaker's Corner and the government's designated protest site. The developments in Kashmir have left them feeling helpless. So they've gathered here to celebrate the Muslim holiday Eid together and talk about what's going on at home. The Indian government imposed a communications blackout with Kashmir after revoking its special status as an autonomous state. Faik Faizan, an organizer for the community lunch, was nervous. He hails from Srinagar, the summer capital of Kashmir.
The clampdown that is happening right now is unprecedented. People don't know what's going on in the house next door. They don't know what's going on with their relatives in the same city. They don't know what's going on with their relatives in like a different part of the state altogether. It's something that shouldn't happen because communication is basic fundamental human right. It's a very dire situation right now.
For many Kashmiris, Eid is a huge festival with the idea of food tied intrinsically to it, of people sharing meals. But for the hundreds who gathered, it was a somber moment as they shared stories, worried about their families and the future.
I do not know what kind of Eid my family is celebrating back home. I do not know the kind of siege they are under.
Sharika Amin, a clinical psychologist from the city of Anantnag in Kashmir, mourned the state of affairs.
Our communication lines have been blackened out, so we are in dark and we do not know what's happening back home. We do not see any light. And why we are here is probably to create light for our own self, to find some meaning in this darkness.
In the run-up to the shutdown, thousands of security forces were airlifted through Kashmir to clamp down on protests, forcing people to stay inside. Cellular networks, landlines and internet connections were cut off. Faik Faizan has heard about the pockets of small protests breaking out in Kashmir.
The situation there have become grievous. Protests have happened, reports of pellet injuries are there. There are reports of stone pelting as well. And for every citizen there, there are about 23 military personnel. So in a situation like this, obviously one worries. And the whole crux of the situation becomes that these people are so afraid of any sort of information going out, any sort of information coming in.
There have been sporadic reports of security forces shooting buckshot pellets at protesters and civilians. The government has admitted to minor localized protests of a routine nature in a few places and isolated incidents of stone pelting since the lockdown, but denied large-scale clashes.
We do not know what conditions they are living in. We do not know if at all they could wish their next door neighbor.
Harsh Mandar, an activist who works with survivors of mass violence, was present during the gathering.
I think more or less a war has been declared against Indian Muslims in many different ways. Spreading it to the rest of the country is going to follow. It is, I think, a calm before a prolonged war by many means to fulfill the RSS agenda, which to reduce Muslims to a sense of fear and second-class citizenship.
The RSS is the ideological mentor of the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, whose philosophy professes that India is only for Hindus. The Indian government announced on August 5th it was scrapping Article 370 of the Constitution, which gives the state of Jammu and Kashmir a special status. The move means that India's only Muslim-majority state lost the right to govern itself. Scrapping Article 370 also means that Indians could own property in the state. Critics say such changes could lead to demographic transformation and have accused the Hindu nationalist-led government of wanting to establish a Hindu majority in the predominantly Muslim region.
Everybody who was present here, their Eid was supposed to be at home with their loved ones. So this is not our Eid. It is not even Kashmir. It is not even Jammu.
After hearing more students speak of their sense of isolation, Sharika becomes restless. She speaks out.
When you are kept in a lockdown, it brims up anger, rage, helplessness. One doesn't know what to do. I do not know how many people could actually celebrate Eid, something that you look forward to the entire year. A symbol of brotherhood right now is being threatened.
Faizan believes the prospect of violence in the restive region could be a reality.
This is like somebody shaking up a whole bottle of Coke and then just closing the lid very tight. As soon as somebody opens the lid, restrictions are eased even a little, there is going to be a huge fallout. You can't keep a population down for too long, and if you're taking a decision for a population in democracy, you need to take heed of their demands as well.
What happens next in Kashmir is a major question. The blanket lockdown is complete and nobody knows how long this will go on. And scrapping the special status of Kashmir is widely seen as the most far-reaching political moves in one of the world's most militarized regions in nearly 7 decades. Away from home, Sharika gives a sense of what people might be feeling.
The silence should not be taken as surrender, and we have been silenced, but that does not mean we are not angry about it. We will register our right to protest, our right to dissent.
It remains to be seen whether this will increase the sense of alienation of its people and in turn feed the rebellion. Murali Krishnan, DW, New Delhi.